Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show tonight. ADHD, paying attention to attention and attitude. And let us in our virtual studios, Lydia Zaleska. I have to tell you, because of some scheduling stuff, tonight's show had to be pre-recorded, and it is absolutely spectacular. I know it's going to be in my top five. What was really cool about this interview is we went to get some really good information. I think we both had some ahas and learned something kind of along the way. Let's get to the meat of the show, but first we got to do a few things real quickly. Tonight is March the 1st in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is a little early in the process, but I do want to start making the announcement that CHADS annual conference, CHADS stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorders, in Atlanta, the second weekend in November from the 9th to the 11th. So you can learn more about that by going chadd.org. We are very proud of our relationship with CHAD and our their ongoing support. In fact, tonight's show is being brought to them. So I want to run a little tip that they have for us, and we'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Parenting a child with ADHD can be stressful. CHAD's here to help. Parent-to-parent training courses offered by CHAD are designed to fit easily into your already busy schedule. Get the training you need online, on demand, or in your community. Learn from parents who have experienced the same challenges as you. Topics include managing ADHD, proven parenting strategies, and educational rights for your child with ADHD. Register today, chad.org/parents. CHAD members eligible for special member pricing. Click, join, get involved.
So thank you very much, CHAD, for pulling this show together and bringing it to our listeners. Again, everybody, this show was pre-recorded. Again, it's absolutely spectacular on mindfulness. I think I learned a lot. I hope you'll learn a lot. So let's roll the tape, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Lydia Zaleska, MD, is a UCLA-trained psychiatrist and associate professor at the University of Minnesota and a diplomat at the American Board of Interactive Holistic Medicine. At UCLA, she conducted pioneering research in mindfulness and ADHD, which has been described in Attitude Magazine, KNBC Los Angeles, local news programs, Time Magazine, and the Boston Globe. She's a co-founding member of the UCLA Mindfulness Awareness Research Center and has authored the book, The Mindfulness Prescription for Adult ADHD. You can learn more about Lydia at her website at Lydia. I actually want to spell her website for you. It's LIDIAZYLOWSKI.com. And with that, Lydia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I have wanted to interview you for so long, and I'm elated that we finally got the opportunity to kind of pull this together. And on Attention Talk Radio, we like to pay attention to attention, particularly as it relates to ADHD. And we've done some shows on mindfulness, but you talk a lot about mindfulness and that there's a difference between mindfulness and attitude. Can you just give us a high-level understanding of that, and we'll get into some particulars?
Yeah, so, you know, mindfulness is talked about in different ways, and it's definitely a practice derived from meditation. So oftentimes I like to distinguish mindfulness and meditation first.
Yes.
So meditation is a set of practices that can engender and kind of strengthen and help you develop a mind state, which is mindfulness.
Okay.
And that mind state can be practiced in ways other than through meditation. I think meditation is one of kind of the boot camp or the,
yep,
you know, the more intense way of training that that very helpful mind state of mindfulness. But you can also do that in daily life by having a shift in attention and attitude. So I actually break down mindfulness to those two steps of attention and attitude as a way to help people get familiar with it, even if they have trouble engaging with meditation, especially at the beginning. And for some people, you know, having those brief shifts into a mindful state of mind throughout the day, it really becomes their main practice. It can have a lot of benefits already without having to meditate. I like to make it more accessible that way,
yep.
because meditation is sometimes scary for adults with ADHD,
yep.
or children with ADHD. It's a place that they feel like they can't do it, or they avoid
yep.
it.
Yep.
You know, it becomes another chore.
Yeah, so when you say a shift into that mind state, can you describe that mind state that you get into as a result of meditation? I'm just kind of curious about that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, that mind state is actually something that's universal, and we can get into it spontaneously. So think about, let's say, you know, watching a sunset, and you're very much
yep.
aware of kind of the changes of light, and, you know, especially if you're in a beautiful scenery, maybe aware of the sight, the smell, you know, the sounds of the scenery. That's a mindful state of mind, being more present to what's happening moment by moment. And, you know, another example, maybe if you are in a new place, if you travel to a new city, a new country, and everything seems kind of unfamiliar and new, then we're much more likely to pay attention to details or things
yep.
that we otherwise gloss over and not notice. So that, again, paying attention in this more particular, intentional way to present moment. But that's the attention piece of that mindful state. The other piece, the
yep.
attitude piece, has to do with openness to experience and, you know, being accepting of things as they are. So not trying to have any preconceived notions of how things are supposed to be, not having not judgments or being judgmental or critical of what you're seeing, because that will change your perception. And, you know, the other piece of that is also, especially when we apply mindfulness to ourselves, to our thoughts and feelings, the other piece of the attitude is that you, to be open, you often have to bring on this kind, heartful quality or compassionate quality, because we can be very afraid of seeing what's inside or very judgmental of what's happening inside. So the attitude piece is about openness, acceptance, and also kindness or compassion, especially when applied to yourself.
I really like this distinction. I've never thought of it in this terms, but I think it's really, really kind of important. And when we were talking about meditation, it's a practice to get into that mind state. Am I oversimplifying it, being that mind state is really being present in the now, aware of what's going on right now, not yesterday, not the past, not the worry, not what you're going to do tomorrow, but really present in what's happening that moment? Is that oversimplified?
Yes, that's one way of talking about that mind state of mindfulness. And actually, I like the word mindful awareness, because mindfulness
okay.
is a little, you know,
yes.
it can bring up different ideas of, you know, being caught in thinking and having your mind full of things. But it's
yep.
really more about stepping back from your busy mind and being present to things that are
yep.
happening moment by moment. And offer those things that we miss out on because we are wrapped up in our minds.
Yep,
so things
absolutely.
Like sounds and, you know, senses through your senses, sight, smell, taste, looking at things, it was with this kind of intentional, curious
yep.
Attention. And also things that we do miss out when we're thinking a lot or being distracted is what's happening inside your body. You
yes.
know, and what's
yes.
happening with your feeling. So mindfulness is really about opening that, you know,
yep.
our field of perception more and allowing us not to, you know, ignore or miss out on things that are happening in the present moment because we're so caught up in this,
yep.
you know, either thinking, distraction, or just being kind of automatically going through our day.
Yep. So I want to delve into the attitude piece of it. Before we do, Lydia, as an attention coach and working with those with ADHD, I think this meditation and mindfulness piece is such a big deal. And I want to just kind of relate it to a metaphor, and I want to get your thoughts in terms of if it's accurate or not. And you talked about meditation as a set of practices. And as a swimmer and an athlete, I would go to practice, and we would practice drills and stuff like that in order to attune our body or be able to shift or pay attention to things differently, particularly if it was a sport that required some type of skill. And so to me, meditation is an attention exercise where you're witnessing your mind and you're bringing it back to the present, which I think is really, really important for those with ADHD, because it's about enabling yourself to pause and witness your attention and bringing it back on the intention. And you practice it on a regular basis so that in life you can mirror it, just like an athlete might shoot free throws in practice, but so they can perform a live game. Based off of that kind of metaphor, does that parallel what your discussion, or is it a little off? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a great metaphor, and I often talk about exercise, physical exercise having a lot, similarities to mental exercises.
Yes.
And mindfulness or meditation is a mental training. It's mental exercise. It's very much attentional exercise, because it is about, observing your attention, catching it where it is, and then redirecting it. So there's this movement of attention, which is often effortful.
Yep.
You have to expend some effort there, and keeping it maybe on something that you intended to keep it on. So
yep.
There's also effort in trying to stay with something, and that's why we say
absolutely.
We pay attention, because you're paying something, you're giving something for it.
Yep.
There's the idea of attentional muscle as well. Right.
Yep. So we've interviewed Dr. Barkley before on his executive functioning construct that ADHD is really a self-regulation issue. And he talks about the brain being a two-level system, that automatic brain and the executive functioning brain, which is very effortful because it's got to step in and override that automatic brain. And in the context of an attention exercise, when you're meditating and you're having to use your executive functioning mind to override your automatic mind as thoughts drift and bring it back to the intended target, goes back to what you're saying. It's effortful, and it's something that needs to be. I want to make a couple comments and come back in a minute, kind of delve in a little further. But to me, I've done a lot of presentations on ADHD and exercise, and I've talked about how exercise is a repetitive and boring routine task and a hallmark of an area of difficulty for those with ADHD. And I always talk about how it's so much easier in a social environment or there's some element of thing to pay attention to. And I think that mindfulness sometimes is difficult for those with ADHD because it too is a practice. And they have to sit there and they have to kind of – there's a little bit of discipline to that. And I think that this practice of mindfulness, although exceptionally good for those with ADHD because it builds that muscle, is a little bit more challenging because it does take more effort because it is somewhat of a boring task. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely can be tedious or boring, and it does require discipline. However, just as you try to think of ways to make physical exercise more attractive for those with ADHD, you could do that with mental exercise of mindfulness or meditation. And at first, what's important is that you understand why you're doing it, what you're getting out of it. So truly understanding the benefits of mindfulness, even if as you're sitting there in meditation, it feels like you're doing nothing, or you feel like all I'm doing is just catching myself and trying to a million times come back to my breath. What's the point of that? But if you really understand that every time you catch yourself and you come back to the breath, you are doing those reps, those attentional
yep.
muscle repetitions, that
yep.
that has value. You don't have
yes.
to stay on the breath. You have to just come back to it over and over again. That has a value. And the fact that as you're meditating, you are engaging your executive function system. You are engaging your working memory, those two cognitive sets of skills that are weakened or not as strong in ADHD. So what you're doing, what might seem like, not much that I'm doing, is
yep.
you are engaging these systems and really strengthening them through these attentional exercises. You are also developing back to the second step, the attitude. You're also developing a way of just being with yourself and accepting things as they are. even if you feel there's restlessness, there's boredom, there's this impatience, you know, learning to notice it and not react out of it.
Yes,
just say,
absolutely.
Okay, it's here. So if you really have that understanding, I think the motivation to do meditation or what's difficult, you know, can be higher and can be helpful. At the same time, things like signing up for a class or going to a retreat where there are other people. So it is some, it is a social event to go and do meditation, can be helpful. Or signing up on, you know, to an online program, and you can, you know, there's a website which I often refer to my patients to, is headspace.com, which is a mindfulness website. And you can sign up for a challenge. So there's a bit of like that game component of a challenge. You know, you have so many days to try to complete practices. And you can see how you compare to others. So having that social component, I think, can be very helpful, just as you mentioned, with physical exercise.
I think it's huge. When I talk about exercise, it's about people, people, people. Did I say people? And what you just described is exactly the type of thing. Because if this type of a thing is more enjoyable, social, it is. And the bottom line is, you said, be creative about this and you can make it happen. So I want to go to the break, and I want to really kind of delve into the attitude side of it, because that side fascinates me. But before we do, your book, The Mindfulness Prescription for Adult ADHD book, where can our listeners purchase the book?
Yeah, it's available through Amazon. They can also find more information on it on my website. So it's accessible through the typical, you know, book sellers.
Absolutely. And your website's LIDIAZYLOWSKA.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more, or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by gigcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Lydia having a great conversation about mindfulness. Before the break, we spent a lot of time talking about meditation as an exercise and to shift that mind state and how positive that can be for those with ADHD. We also tried to give some insights on how to make it a little bit easier and more interesting for you to do that. Now I'd like to kind of take a look at the attitude side of it. And this is new to me in terms of a concept, although – on the break, I was actually relating. We did an interview some time ago with an individual who talked about how problems are interesting because they pop up and you have to deal with them now. And when things go right that you might be grateful for, you have a tendency to put that off, which you can do. And the person described how problems actually crowd out the good things of life, and that if you're going to really, really acknowledge that stuff, you actually have to schedule time and practice being grateful, to sit down and say, I'm grateful for this or grateful for that. And it seems to me, we've talked about that on Attention Talk Radio, but that's kind of an exercise too that you practice in order to shift your attitude. So kind of before the break, we were talking about shifting to a mind state. Attitude, is it shifting to a mindset? Talk to us about that a little bit, would you?
Yeah, so if you think about perception in general, it requires, you know, a particular way of paying attention, and that brings awareness. And also how you pay attention, that's where the attitude comes in, will make you notice certain things or not notice certain things. So that's why the attitude of mindfulness is important. And, you know, the main emphasis on openness or just being a witness to things as they are. You know, not pushing anything away, not clinging to anything, just being kind of there and observing things as they are. So, you know, that's the kind of the first step of the attitude, which I think works fine if things that you're trying to be present to are not really difficult to be present to. Like if you're just, you know, looking at things that are happening outside of you, or if, for example, there's a practice of mindful eating, when you take, you know, let's say a piece of fruit or whatever you're eating, and you really try to attune to the taste, the texture, the smell, and you that exercise is important because it teaches you to bring your attention away from busy thinking and being distracted to being present. So it is an exercise in flexibility of attention and bringing it to the what you're doing. But let's say there's another practice which is about staying with difficult feelings or just staying with feelings. And in general, there are layers to feelings, and maybe one feeling will show that there's another level underneath. Let's say there's some fear about a task, and maybe there's some frustration about the task. So as you try to understand how you are coming to a task, that's where mindfulness can be helpful. You're asked to practice just being present to those thoughts and feelings. And there may be underneath a feeling of shame, for example. You know, well, how can I... How come I'm not able to do this? And there is, you know, there is a value in being able to acknowledge these feelings because then you can kind of release them. They don't have as much power when you acknowledge them. And so it's really important with the attitude piece. When you apply, you know, when you try to be present or aware of what's happening inside, to also remember to be kind and compassionate to yourself. That can kind of offset or neutralize these negative feelings. It can help you actually approach those feelings without wanting to avoid it or push it away. Because if you can be compassionate to yourself, you can have everything about yourself. You can see everything about yourself. And it doesn't mean that, you know, sometimes people are a little confused about compassion. They think, or self-compassion, they think it's, like self-pity or, you know, giving yourself a pass when you're not supposed to give yourself a pass about something that you're doing. And they use criticism to self-motivate. So if they think I'm going to be compassionate to myself, then, you know, I won't achieve anything or I'll just, you know, I'll be passive. So that's not what compassion is. Compassion is really and enabling you to acknowledge things and to be with things as they are. And from that awareness, you can see more choices about how to proceed. And oftentimes, you can see new solutions and new abilities to approach things that otherwise you wouldn't.
And so I want to share a story. It's going to be a story, but we're going to call it a metaphor to see if I can illustrate the power of what I think that you're saying. I coach a lot of people on procrastination, and often they'll come to me with something, and I'll say, well, what's hard about it? And they'll say, it's not hard, it's easy. For example, a guy, this is a true story, said he wanted coaching one time. He was procrastinating on calling his family members about his daughter's dance recital or something. I said, well, what's hard? He said, there's nothing hard. It's just a phone call. And I said, isn't it self-evident? If it was easy, you would have done it by now. So what's hard? And as we began to talk about it, we began to realize what was hard was typically he calls up and says, hey, the dance recital's in 2 weeks. And they say, well, what do we bring? Where do we park? And, you know, a various bunch of other questions. And he doesn't have the answer to that. So then he's got to go track that stuff down from somebody who asked him to have the task. And so that's hard. He has to create a bunch of other phone calls as a result of that. And the awareness of the hard part was he didn't have the information actually enabled him to, hey, that's the awareness. And so that he would go ask in advance, if I'm going to make these calls, what types of
information are they going to ask me for, so you would have it, and then he would activate. So by pausing and acknowledging what was hard, it opened things up, and he was able to manage around it and come up with choices. And what I think I hear you saying, Lydia, is that if you can be with those feelings and stay with them and acknowledge them, you can often open up and help you get choices and actually come up with solutions to get around them, just like as I described, there's this simple task that the person was not activating on, but when we acknowledged it was hard and we dealt with those, we were able to figure out how to move forward. Now, if that's not accurate, please correct me, but just to make it kind of tangible, do you see that is that a good representation of kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that is a great example. It's very much that, and you know, I appreciate you having that example, because if you think about procrastination or avoidance of something, just as you said, it may seem on the surface that it's easy, but if you're not getting to it, it's like you have to be a bit of a detective. Like,
yes.
What else is there, right? What else is there that is making it difficult, or that makes me drag my feet, or I don't want to do it? So, you know, mindfulness is very much about that pausing and expanding your awareness and checking in. I like sometimes talking about mindfulness as bringing that curious attention to the present moment. Be curious.
Absolutely.
Else is there?
Absolutely. I want to go to break. We come back. We'll talk about some practical applications, because we're talking about shifting the mind state, then the mindset. And actually, I'm having this huge aha, Lydia, about some other shows that we've had that I think we can really talk about how we can deal with this practically. I need to go to the break. Everybody, if you're not curious now, before, you should be now, about her book, The Mindful Prescription for Adult ADHD. You can look it up on Amazon.com. or her website at LIDIAZYLOWSKA. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Lydia talking about mindfulness, and I got to tell you, I already know this is going to be one of my top 10 favorite shows, because I think this is really kind of cool. We talked about shifting your mind state, then we start shifting your attitude. We've done some shows in the past. One of them stands out with Dr. David Now, and the show was all about how exactly did you do that. And he came on and we talked about how people do things and what their recipe is. And so we really kind of talked about, you know, there's so much that those with ADHD do right, but they're not mindful enough to actually kind of stop and witness the underlying systems that they have in place that don't necessarily look like everybody else, to realize is that they do it in order to build on it. And I have the story, to give you an example, this guy called me up one time, he was a lawyer, and says, listen, I need help with Outlook. It's unorganized, it's a mess. And I said, well, like example, he said, like, I don't have any in my contacts. I said, well, you're organized. He said, no, I'm not. He said, no, you are. He said, he was arguing with me. I said, I guarantee you that you have a system. And I said, how do you send me an email? I said, well, I search my inbox for your name. It comes up. I cut and paste your name into the new email, and I send it to you. And as he described that, I said, you know, does it ever not work? No, it always works. So that's your system. He's what? I go, yeah, it's a flawless system. Now, it might be inefficient, but it's a system. But it was taking this exercises that we've done and being able to be mindful about looking at about what happens. And in fact, he did have the system, and we actually coached around it to move to a system where he'd actually populate all of his contacts into his contacts. But he began to realize that mindfully, when the pressure was on, he'd have to stop and think, effortlessly think about the new habit and the new system. And he actually acknowledged that the investment of effort and time was not worth the benefit. And he said, hey, my system might be inefficient long term, but it helps me in the moment. And he made that decision to stay with it. And I think that speaks to kind of what you were talking about, Lydia, is when we were mindful, we discovered, in fact, that he did have a system, and he let go of the judgment because he actually said it served him. And at the end of the coaching assignment, nothing changed except his attitude and his judgment around an existing system that had worked well for him. So what are your thoughts on that? Is that kind of relating kind of the power of all this stuff for those with ADHD?
Yeah. I love your examples. This is a great one in, you know, how there may be some, you know, preconceived notions that somebody carries of what they're supposed to do, right? They're supposed to be organized in this way. This is the system that everybody uses, so I should be using it. And that shows up with ADHD a lot because, you're comparing yourself to others, and yet your maybe natural tendency is to use something different or something that is less effortful in the moment. And so I think, you know, what you said is pausing and taking time to understand how you work, where you naturally gravitate to, what is difficult. That can give you the power to then decide, you know, can I embrace this about myself? Or do I need to, you know, tweak it or have some support systems to maybe develop what I do naturally into a little bit more efficient system? But the more time, you know, permission you give yourself, well, let me, you know, understand what's unique about me or how I work, what seems to be easy for me. And then you can actually appreciate that about yourself. And maybe that is the system that you accept and embrace and can, like, leave this baggage behind. I should be doing something that everybody else is doing.
Absolutely. Right? Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I wanted to mention that mindfulness has a lot of facets, and we've talked about this shift in attention and attitude, but part of what you're doing with the practice, you're also developing an inner voice, and I call it the mindful self-coaching voice that can kind of tell you in the moment what to do to become more present or to be more accepting or to become more creative in the moment of how to respond. And very much that voice is also to be non-judgmental, you know, to kind of first have the courage to see how things are for me. And then from that develop, you know, more choice, more possibilities.
Exactly. So let's talk about, this is a real story. Let's talk about how everything that Lydia said is played out. So I'm coaching a woman some time ago. She was really downtrodden and hard on her luck. And she came in, I started working with her a little bit. And as time got on, in different ways, she began to become more mindful. She began to sit there and shift her state of mind and bring it more to the present. And as she did that, she was able to pause and she was able to do things. And over a period of time, her attitude began to change. And so we see the exercise that are starting to take place. We see the shift. And then one day I'm coaching her on time. And she's struggling with time, and she says, well, I think I should get a timer. I said, that's great. Let's try it. So she goes and she gets a timer, and she comes back next week and says, oh, man, this thing is great. It's kind of going on. But about 2 weeks later, she comes to the coaching call, and she says, the timer's not working anymore. And I said, I'm curious, why? She says, well, I think I've gotten bored of it. Now, here's the cool part, Lydia, is that she's now developed that inner voice. She's changed her attitude, just like you've described. And I go, it's gotten boring. I said, well, what's our next step? And she says, well, I need to get another timer. And I'm like, okay, let's try it. So she went out and got another timer. Well, as this unfolded, and you can go to YouTube and search attention dog video and time, and you can pull up, and I did an interview with this, and she's got like this, she's got a time timer, she's got a sand timer, she's got an egg timer, she's got this timer that hops all over the place. She's got like 15 different timers, and she rotates them through on a regular basis so she doesn't get bored of any one of them. And lady, I think that it's a great example of how we shifted that state of mind through the exercises. She had that attitude adjustment. She was no longer judgmental, and that inner voice said, I'm bored, I need to get some other timers. And what I love about this is I've been at conferences and I've talked to mental health professionals about this story, and they're like, what? I go, yeah, it works for her. And the shock and the awe in all their faces, like, that doesn't make any sense. I said, well, it makes all the sense in the world for her. But only she could have come up with that because she was listening to inner voice. And I think that just really illustrates the power of mindfulness and how helpful it can be for those with ADHD. So yes. I'm going to stop for a second, kind of get your thoughts on it, because I do think it illustrates everything that you're all about.
Yes, and it's very much about empowering the person to kind of, you know, have that sense of themselves and be the expert of themselves and know what works for them. Because, you know, as you know, you have one person with ADHD, what works for them may be different than what works for another person with ADHD. And so you really have to tailor and individualize, you know, whatever approach is for that particular person. And sometimes if, you know, as a clinician or as a coach, when you work with the person, you're really trying different things and they may work for a little bit and not work in the long run. And the mindfulness piece, if you bring it in to that working relationship, then you can both be curious to say,
yep,
okay, let's figure out how is it for you and what works for you. Here's a list of ADHD strategies, but maybe they don't work exactly for you, or we have to,
yep,
tweak them, right?
Yep.
So, you know, the mindfulness piece is very much empowering the person to say, how can I make things work for me, versus I have to figure out how to, you know, mold myself,
yep,
to what seems to be the treatment or the,
yep,
strategy.
So
ultimately, it becomes a better match.
Absolutely. So I'm going to a little bit, just a context, a big insight for me many years ago when I was I call myself an attention coach because that's actually kind of what I think I coach. But years ago, it dawned on me that only Lydia can witness what Lydia's paying attention to. And because she can only see what she's paying attention to, she can't see what I'm paying attention to, so she's got nothing to compare it to. She's really flying blind. And so, mm-hmm, when you become mindful and you begin to witness your own attention and not try to focus on what you think everybody else is, it opens some things up. So, again, just another example of the power is I was coaching a woman one time about time, different story, and I said, well, what's time look like to you? She said, it flows like a river. And after about 10 minutes of questioning, we decided, let's try a timeline, just a straight line, 7 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock at night, and she just stopped. And she went to go do that, and a week later she came back, and she said, this really, really, really helps. And I said, really? She said, yeah, when I have appointments, I got these little – it's like a bar chart. When there's a bunch of – it's a city. I know that I'm really busy, and when there's not, it's an expansive time. And she went on, and it was exceptionally helpful for her, although you can't find a book of timelines in the self-help section of the bookstore, because she wouldn't have been able to do that had she not been mindful. And I had no idea what was going on. I'm just trying to ask her the questions to help her witness her attention. And I've actually been in presentations before where I've illustrated this, where I've got an Outlook calendar and I got a timeline, and people look at it. It's funny because when you read them, it's like switching from English to Spanish, because it's the same stuff, but the way your brain consumes it's very, very differently. And again, just because your attention is so unique, this mindfulness, I think, really gives a lot of insight on how to find your obvious solutions that work that might not be so obvious to somebody else, which with that statement, everybody who's listening to the show knows exactly why I wanted to have Lydia onto the show and why this fits perfectly in our stuff, because it's all about paying attention to attention, and mindfulness helps you witness your own attention and discover your own solution. So, Lydia,
yes,
is there anything left to cover that we haven't covered before we wrap this up?
One thing I wanted to emphasize is, you know, that there are different ways to practice mindfulness. And we very much, you know, we're talking about these brief moments of checking in, and that's sometimes referred to in the mindfulness circles as informal practice. So you have the formal practice of signing up for a class, sitting in meditation, going to a retreat, and that's sort of like the boot camp training,
yep.
which can be a nice, you know, beginning and or jump starting your practice or, you know, experience
yep.
of mindfulness. Or you could do this informal practice when you really do these brief checking ins, and that has a great value for ADHD because you want to be where the ADHD happens, which is daily life,
yep.
right? You want
yep.
the mindfulness pause to happen there. And give you choices or give you more understanding. But it can also be helpful to just have reminders throughout the day to check into your body and your breath many times throughout the day because that becomes that informal practice of exercising your attentional muscle, of shifting to that attitude of let's just be with what is. Let's notice what is with this kind of openness and acceptance. So if you for somebody the idea of meditation is feels daunting, just having reminders, like, you know, having a little reminder on the phone that says, check your breath, or having,
yep.
A picture frame in your office or wherever you work that has this word breath or sound or body. And those three things are very important because those are the three things, I call them the anchors to the present moment, where you can move away from the busy mind, you are training attention, and you're learning a lot, especially the breath and the body, about what's happening inside on the emotional level. It's like a portal to then later on, you know, be more present to yourself. So that practice can be great, even if you never meditate.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Lydia, I just have you crushed it today. This is a spectacular interview. I think you did a great job
Thank
with
you.
It. And I so much appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, likewise. I heard about the show, you know, for a long time. So I'm really excited we finally got together and had a chance to talk.
Well, I think we did a good job. So everybody, go check out our book, The Mindfulness Prescription for Adult ADHD. And with us, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.